John chapter 16, starting at verse 1. We've been preaching through Acts, and I do appreciate you've allowed me to preach through Acts because I've had Acts in graduate school. I've learned all of what the great German theologians have said about Acts, and it did not help me one bit to understand the book of Acts. That's the great thing about seminary. You go to seminary to learn what you don't need to know so you can get a degree that doesn't really help in what you need to do and how to preach. But it's been great going through the book of Acts. You know, I'm getting bad. I don't know if I'm so thrilled with a lot of the education systems now. When I look back on seminary, I'm beginning to realize they told me what they wanted me to think rather than what the Bible actually said. This is becoming more and more aware. Anyway, we've been looking at the early church, and thank you for allowing me to preach through Acts because it shows you the struggles of the early church to proclaim the gospel. The apostles, when they started proclaiming, some believed, but the nation as a whole and its authorities hated them. When they proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ, the Sanhedrin, and by the way, I've told you, the Sanhedrin now exists again. They formed again. I don't think they're recognized by the nation of Israel, but they have formed again. The nation, the Sanhedrin has formed again. And when they appeared before that old Sanhedrin, the thing that they said most about them was, don't you dare mention that name, Jesus the Nazarene. They hated that. That'll stick with me in my preaching of Acts from now on. That name, and yet the terrorist Paul said, at the name of Jesus the Nazarene, every knee will bow. Even Lucifer or Satan, that doesn't have a knee, he's a spirit being. I think God could give him knees just so he has to bow. And as I preached through and I saw Paul, last week we talked about the fact that he marched into Damascus with the complete authority of the Sanhedrin and the priesthood in Israel to kill and imprison anybody who dared follow Jesus the Nazarene. And then God met him on the Damascus road and stopped him dead in his tracks. He went in as a triumphant authority, the top rabbi of his generation, who would have always been remembered as the great Saul who stopped those crazy Christians. But God had a different plan. How did Paul go out of Damascus? In a fish basket. Imagine going into Jerusalem. This was probably within a week or two period. He marches in with a bunch of other rabbis. Let's get them. And they're all looking at, boy, Saul's going to get him. We have our man. The terrorist is going to get him. God gets a hold of him. How does he go out? Hated by those who once loved him. In a fish basket. And that keeps reminding me of where we want to go in John chapter 16. Because Jesus, he knew these things. In his ability, in his supernatural nature. Starting at verse 16:1, but we do remember. Remember now, another thing you need to know. Chapters and verses are not original to the text of Scripture. As a matter of fact, some scribe long after put these in to help you find verses, and I cannot figure out why at times they put the chapters and verses where they did. Maybe it was cold in the cave and they were trying to warm themselves and they just quickly hurried so they could go back to where it was warmer. I don't know, but you need to, for 16:1, you need to go back up into 15. And Jesus has warned them in 25, if you do follow me, they hated me without a cause, Jesus said. By the way, the reason why Jesus is hated is it's satanic. Hatred of Christ, the Messiah, is satanic because of the God of this world. If there is a hatred of Christ, you can take it to the bank that the minions of Lucifer in the unseen realm have produced this kind of hate. They're going to hate me without cause, Jesus said. But I'm going to give you the Helper, and he will bear witness also of me, and then you will bear witness of me. But look what Jesus said in 16:1. As we celebrate, you know what you're doing with communion right now? You are bearing witness of Jesus Christ. Communion does not save you. Let me go right there right now. If you think taking communion this morning is going to save you, some priest or preacher told you something from the pits of hell. Communion will never save you. It is not a sacrament. That's what some... You know why that these churches call these things sacraments? The word sacrament means it conveys grace. And that if you don't take it within that particular ecclesiastical body, you can't be saved. Now, why would they tell you that? So they can control you. Religion is about control. Jesus is about setting people free. Communion will never save you. It is a witness, a memorial witness that you are a follower of Jesus Christ who shed his blood, gave his body to redeem us. You're testifying. As Jesus said, you will witness of me. So what you're doing when you take communion is telling everybody you have decided to follow Jesus and you will live for him. And you are in thankfulness and remembrance of what he did for you. That's all it means. By the way, baptism will never save you. There are ecclesiastical bodies will call baptism a sacrament. They're blowing smoke. Did they get that from the New Testament? No. They got it from their tradition. Guess what tradition is? It's made up bunk. I found that in theology now. That much of the theology I may have been taught was nothing but a man-made tradition, of which Paul said, do not be taken captive by philosophy or man-made tradition. So you've now become a witness when you do this. You witness to the people here publicly that you are following Jesus. Jesus said they hated me without cause, and look what it says. These things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. That means this. Don't get surprised that you become offended, because here is what the world that's controlled by Satan will think of a genuine Christian. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. Now, we don't have this exact equivalent today as a Jewish person would have in that day. Their whole life was the synagogue. They didn't associate with Gentiles. Everything they did centered, their education was from the synagogue. Their social life was from the synagogue. And if a widow needed help and didn't have a husband, the synagogue very lovingly would help that widow. It was a support group that was very active for these people. Today, you get unhappy with Dave's preaching, you can go to another church. Who gives? You know, that's just, I'll go to another church where the preacher will preach what I want to hear. It's okay. But in those days, you were raised in the synagogue. That was your life. All your friends were there. Your whole life centered there. Education all the way through. And Jesus said, if you follow me, guess what's going to happen? Your whole life, your whole social life, everything that you know, you will have to give up. They're going to throw you out of the synagogue. That meant this, that anybody that followed Jesus, no support. By the way, in those days, they did not have Social Security. Or if you get injured in the military, they didn't have the benefits that some people get if they're injured in the military. You were by your lonesome because of your testimony to Jesus Christ. And Jesus warned, they're going to make you outcast from everything you hold valuable. And an hour is coming when everyone who kills you thinks they're doing God a service by getting rid of you. Imagine religious people thinking by killing another person, they're doing God a favor. Listen, if God wants to kill somebody, guess what? He doesn't need your help. These people that take religion into their own hands, including fundamentalist Christians, and think that it's up to them to do God a favor. Listen, leave people with God. Paul says, be careful within the church, but in 1 Corinthians 5 it says, those outside the church God judges. Leave it with God. You are not the judge, but there were people that think, and today they still exist, that by killing people they're doing God a service. That's God's business, not yours. But the takeaway here is that once you decide to follow Jesus, Jesus said this, if you follow me, the odds are dollars to donuts. If you're a true follower of mine, everything that you value will be taken from you and all you will have is Jesus. I don't know if you've heard this, and everybody laughs at conspiratorial Dave. Laugh. But there was an article this week that the Chinese social system, where they give you not only a FICO score. Do you know what your FICO score is? I know what mine is. I always watch. Because with FICO, if I want to get further in debt, I got to have a high number so I have the privilege of getting further in debt. What's wrong with that picture? Anyway, if you don't pay your bills, down goes your FICO score. Well, that's in terms of your monetary status, but China now has a social score on the trains. You get on and they announce, if you make too much noise, they can identify the person by cameras. If you litter, down goes your score. If you make too much noise, down goes your score. There are over 3 to 4 million people in China whose social score, they can't even ride a bicycle. Imagine, well, China has a lot of people, so I guess, but imagine you with a social score where you can't take a train, a bicycle, can't work, you can't even go to a grocery store to buy food. You're on your own. They announced this last week that Google and the high-tech companies are bringing that to the United States. And part of their censoring of websites is all part of this program coming over now. And if you think your politicians are going to stop you, you're smoking dope. I believe there's a social score coming to the United States, just like China. They beta tested it, and now the news seems to be confirming this. When you put on your Facebook a scripture verse, or you stand on an issue that is a religious issue, eventually, this is going to be used against you to lower your social score. Eventually, someone's going to arise in the United... By the way, that benefits many of these politicians because then the people that would oppose them have a low social score and lose their influence in society. This is a real game that's going to be played. It's coming to America. Whether you think it or not, you put your trust in Washington. If they can't even keep Epstein safe behind bars in the most secure prison that they have in New York, and no one's ever escaped or ever had that happen, and they can't keep him safe, these people are liars. And there's going to be a social score. Do you go on Facebook and post pictures? How about a scripture verse? If I were you, I would close your Facebook account. My score is so low because thanks to the church and the seminary, I have a whole bunch of negative points because of my sermons and my preaching at the seminary and what I do.
But the book said that this is now.
Well, how do you know that? Oh, that's just the news media. Because people that are within the group have turned witness against these artificial intelligence companies, these AI companies, and they're saying, I was in the smoke-filled boardroom, and this is what they're planning on doing, and they're implementing it now. It's, what do they do with whistleblowers in our country anymore? So here's what I'm telling you. Jesus said, there's going to be an hour, and I believe it's coming for us now. I don't want it, but I call it as, and there it was in this. I was going to send it to the whole church. You laugh at Pastor Dave, you conspiracy. And there it was, whistleblowers, Google, Facebook, all of them are rolling out this social score. And you're volunteering to them all sorts of information in these websites about how you think. And then they have, get this, artificial intelligence programs that literally psychologically analyze you and know how you react under certain circumstances and situations. And how they'll plan to counter you because they know how you think and you're giving them all the information. Why don't, Dave, Pastor Dave, this is communion. How dare you scare me? I just want to tell you that when you take communion, please remember this. You are testifying that you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they put you out of the synagogue and give you a bad social score, so be it. I worry for my kids. Sandy's grandson. There are these precious kids in our country that are growing up. We want them to be believers in Jesus. And look what they could potentially face unless we stop this. But I know one thing. This is a public venue. By the way, there are cameras in here. Your picture has now been recorded. It's on a local server, but you think that stops the government from being able to see who's worshiping Jesus and declaring themselves, I have decided to follow Jesus? I want you to be aware of that. Jesus said, the God of this world, he says here, all these things they will do because they have not known the Father. If you hate Jesus, you have never known the Father. Jesus said, if you hate me, he said in John, then you hate my Father. What will you do with Jesus Christ? So when we take communion this morning, smile at the camera. And let them know that you will not take my faith in Jesus Christ unless it's from my cold, dead hand, is what you're going to tell them. Like they said about a gun, but not violence. That you will follow Jesus Christ even if your social score goes to zero. And get ready. And don't trust in any political party because the elites constantly speak about this one thing. New world order. And who is ever going into the new world order is not going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So now you know the soberness of what we're testifying to. Cameras rolling. This will be recorded as one of David's communions, and my social score just got taken down further into the negative 25,000. But remember, Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake will live.
He who lives temporarily and forsakes me will face death. So if you think Pastor Dave's crazy, look up what they're saying. These are whistleblowers.
You say, well, our government, our Constitution. Since when has our government ever listened to the United States Constitution? It's now considered a living document. You know what that is? When they say the Constitution is a living document, that means that they can make it say whatever they want. You know those FISA warrants? The information may come out on those FISA warrants.
You have a secret court of judges that you don't even know who's involved, that if the government wants to, they can give the name, your name, to a FISA court, and none of your constitutional rights apply. So if you think we are safe, I really doubt. So when we take communion this morning,
face that camera and let them know. You can take your social credit score and keep it. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.